Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al. I am so excited. We are welcoming back two of my very, very favorite guests, although you've only heard one of them because the other one, poor thing. Let's say hello to Kristen first. Kristen, how are you this morning?
I am doing wonderful. How about you?
I am doing great. Now, Kristen was on our previous Walking Dead episode. And if you're thinking to yourself, that's funny, I've never heard them do a Walking Dead episode before. It's because that's one of the episodes that never quite saw the light of day, but not because of Kristen. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't.
It was because of Al.
Listen. If you think we have recording level issues now, you should have seen it back in the day. It just wasn't. We're getting better, though. We're getting better. Also, coming back on the show, I want you to know your episode is actually the second highest episode total, second most popular episode ever. We're welcoming back Miss Sylvia Butler. Sylvia, how are you?
Hey, everybody. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Now, I need you to confirm for us right out the gate that you are actually planning on playing Dungeons & Dragons with us.
I am. I would like to play.
Fantastic. So we're setting that up. We actually now have our full crew. We had a couple of people sign up. We couldn't quite get everybody in there, but we have Sylvia. We have Danielle, our normal co-host. We've also picked up Christina, who is a nurse that works out in a way. Anyway, Christina's awesome. She's going to be a really, really great addition. And then we just picked up a woman we picked up a grandmother who listens to the show. She's one of our, I think she's probably one of our older listeners, but she's like in her 50s. But her name is Jeannie Morales, and so we're really excited to have her come on. She contacted us and said, you know what? I've never played. I've heard about it forever. I want to do this. And so I'm like, it's good. So we're going to be setting up and doing that sometime in November. Get it edited and up before Christmas time. And we're thinking about, like, okay, so there's podcasts where you can listen to people play Dungeons & Dragons. They're not good because playing Dungeons & Dragons is fun. Watching Dungeons & Dragons is actually more boring than watching golf. It is incredibly dull to sit and watch other people do it. And you just sit and listen to other people do it. There's a group called Penny Arcade, and they do a regular part. They do a giant convention called PAX, and they do a Dungeons & Dragons live on stage, and it involves like famous people like Will Wheaton and nerd famous people, Will Wheaton and Felicia Day. Anyway, so they go, they'll get together, they'll do this thing up there, and they'll play Dungeons & Dragons games, and even that just bores the hell out of me. And I'm figuring, but we're going to try to chop it up, and maybe we'll throw it up there. Anyway.
Okay.
So, let's do some This Week in Geek, starting out with some Doctor Who. I am so excited. Lego is finally making some Doctor Who stuff. And now it's part of this Lego Dimensions, which is this game system that's going to be available for all your major game systems. It's going to have the Disney Infinity. Have you guys seen Disney Infinity?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same basic idea where you have to go and buy all the individual pieces and you put them on the little stage and then you can go play as those things. The difference with Lego is that you get to build them first, which I think is a pretty big bonus. And Lego has some random properties kind of scattered around. So you've got Doctor Who, and then you've also got Back to the Future, and you got a DeLorean and Marty and Doc, and actually Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd are voicing the characters for it. And then you've got a bunch of DC superheroes that are going to be in there. All of the stuff from the Lego movie, obviously. Like, tons of stuff. It's going to be pretty sick.
I don't know. I'm a little confused, though. What if your Lego structure is not structurally sound and you try to put it on your board and then what? The entire game falls apart? Come on.
Oh, my God. I never thought about that. Yeah. What if
you have not seen my Lego structures, apparently.
Wow. Are you not?
They're creative.
No. Listen, I don't buy that for a second. Kristen strikes me as the type who's going to look at a pile of Legos and just make like the Sistine Chapel. You know, like it's not going to be, and it's going to be able to withstand
with like the relief, like paint and all. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, and when Kristen does something, Kristen doesn't do it halfway. If Kristen built something out of Legos, I'm willing to bet it could hit, they could take a car crash and be fine.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. My structures, however, now I'm terrified though. I'm not good at this. So Lego Star Wars, we're very excited. Okay, but speaking of things that annoy Kristen, Kristen has a tragic tale for us involving the very, very first ThinkGeek store, which was located in the Florida Mall here in Central Florida, the south side of Central Florida from where we're at. So still like a 40-45 minute drive from Castleberry. But they went down there. Kristen, want you to tell us what happened.
All right. Well, to as a precursor to this story, the ThinkGeek store and the ThinkGeek employees were fantastic. They did a really great job of helping us through this entire process, so I won't say that it was any
it's
of that.
Not ThinkGeek's fault. That's
right.
Good.
Yes. However, my husband and I purchased a Spheron BB-8. Yay, awesome. We can have the little thing crawl around our house, drive our cat and dog crazy. It was fantastic.
Now, the BB-8 droid is the new little ball droid from this. If you've seen the new Star Wars movie, the new trailer's there, the little droid that goes rolling around. It's adorable and cute. So that's the BB-8. Okay. Yeah. So which BB-8? Because there's two of them.
The one where you can have the phone app that actually controls it.
Okay,
I mean,
so the one controlled by the phone. Okay.
Decent $150 product. Something you'd expect to work. Brought it home. The first night, it worked fantastically. We drove the cat crazy. It was pretty fantastic. Set it on the charger, and after that, it was not taking a charge. So by day two, it had about 2 minutes worth of life, and then would need to go back on the charger. By day three, sitting dead on the charger. So my husband sent an email to Spheron and said, hey, what's going on here? What do we need to do? They closed his help ticket and sent him an email back with some FAQs.
Now, I don't know if you've ever interacted with customer service before, but I have to tell you, that sounds a lot like my own customer service experiences.
That's really not unusual.
That's unfortunate, but which is just, okay. So then what happened?
All right. So, not satisfied with that result, he sent another email and said, all right, you all have to fix this for me. 9 days later, they sent another email saying, that's fine, send it back to us, but you're going to have to pay to ship it. Needless to say, we went through ThinkGeek at that point, returned the product, and we'll never buy a new one.
That is so sad.
And it's painful. Right before Christmas, we have nieces and nephews, and they're not going to get a BB-8.
Nieces and nephews? Nuts to that, man. I want a BB-8.
True.
Because this thing will do the thing where it actually will, like, map out your room. Like, it moves around like a little Roomba. And, like, I got to see it briefly. And it was so cool looking. And so, like, it all little head wobbles around and stuff. I love that thing. I can't believe that was...
I know, but Spheron's heard the tale now. Maybe they'll make it right. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm sure the Spheron executives that listen to our For Geek's Sake are going to be like, oh, no, fix this right away.
Every week.
Actually, I constantly get emails from them asking me to highlight their stuff, and now look what I've done. Mm-hmm. They brought it on themselves, though. They brought it on themselves. But on the technology that's actually working, this was so cool. So there is a company out in the out in Europe, there we go, in the UK, and they are called Open Bionics. So what Open Bionics is doing is creating prosthetic hands specifically. And, designed for amputees, obviously, or your Addams Family enthusiast. There's like five people who got that joke, and I don't care. I'm proud of it. I'm sticking with it. So basically what this stuff does is they've created these hands, and the thing that makes it so amazing is that they are setting up, they're getting ready to do their human testing, which always sounds bad. Like, I realize that human testing is very important, that we always have to test things on humans before we just, like, release it to the public. But anytime you're in the human testing phase, I'm like, this is how, like, zombie movies start. But Open Bionics, not making zombies, making hands. And they made these things 3D printed. So, like, they're able to do this for... Normally, a new hand would cost you something like $150,000. These guys have got it set up to do it for $3,000. $3,000. That is so cool. If they get the technology right, I might just go ahead and replace one of my own hands. Like, they're still working on it, though. They're working on some of the pinch. I guess the hardest part with the hand is being able to do things like tie your shoes. Like, tying your shoes is apparently, like, the... It's like the test for how good you can do this.
I still can't tie a shoe.
I can't. So what the heck is a bionic hand going to hurt me? I've just been rocking Velcros for 34 years. I don't care. And flip-flops. It's mostly flip-flops. They stopped making Velcros on my size a lot. So, but this stuff is and the most amazing part about this is not only is it 3D printed, not only is it $3,000, it's also open source. And so what that means is that you can go online and download everything that they're doing. You can see, you could theoretically, if you were, we actually have a maker studio here in Central Florida called Factor. And you could go down to Factor and literally print one of these things right now. Now, it's not going to probably, it's, I don't know if it's going to include all the stuff you need to attach it to yourself and make it read the little neurons and the muscle movements and all that. But it is an incredibly huge advance, and they're basically wanting the maker community to help them continue to improve it. And because they're only doing it for $3,000, I kind of feel like, even if I could get it done, somebody's like, oh no, I can print off a new hand, attach a thing for you today, I'll do it for $200. I think I'd still pay the $3,000. I feel like there's a point where you're like, listen, I want a good deal. I also need a hand that functions. You know, like, I don't know if I want to start messing around with my body parts. There's a joke in there, but I'm going to leave it be. But yeah, so 3,000, you guys don't seem nearly as excited and impressed as I was.
No, it's very impressive.
Okay, you guys, I have the two least expressive guests ever today. Both of them were just staring
That's
at me.
Amazing, Al.
Wow, only $3,000.
Oh my goodness.
I hate you both so much. You're both fired. All right, so, but anyway, so we got, Bionic Hands and Doctor Who and BB-8. It's been a tumultuous morning, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Let's get into some Walking Dead.
Yes, please.
See, right there, that would have been the part I
started. Yay!
No. I could sing a little.
No. Please don't.
We're good.
All right. Fine. Okay, so we're talking Walking Dead here today. So if you have not seen the episode, spoilers. Just all of the spoilers. All things Walking Dead are fair game here. So if you haven't seen Walking Dead yet, you can skip forward approximately 28 minutes or so and catch our B-roll, which is going to be actually pretty heavy. So let's get into Walking Dead. So let's start with a recap. Not a recap. We're going to assume people have seen the show. Let's start with a review. Kristen, what jumped out going into season 6? What jumped out at you?
Most definitely the relationship between Morgan and Rick.
That was absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of, I mean, even the title of the episode, First Time Again, that's an interesting connection there between the two of them.
All right, now, Kristen rolled up with notes. Like, she's got a notepad here. How many pages of notes do you have?
It's just one page. I just wanted to make sure I could remember all the minor characters' names. You know, it's been a while since the last season ended.
I'm actually really impressed that you only have one page.
It's only one page.
Because when you brought in the spiral, I thought, oh, she just did one spiral. That's pretty small for her.
Okay, only one.
Sylvie, what about you? What jumped out at you about the episode?
I'm going to go with some of the things on the surface. Like, I get that they wanted you to know what was in the past and what was current, but the whole black and white, back to color thing was a little annoying to me. I don't know if anybody else felt it.
No, you know what? At first, it felt like, I was like, oh, they're doing a really cool style thing here. And then as this episode drug on, I'm like, or you guys just were jumping back and forth in time and needed a way to be able to tell.
Exactly.
Right. Like, right. It went from being really awesome to kind of a lazy storytelling device.
They actually talked about it on The Talking Dead afterwards, why they chose to do the black and white images, and they felt that it was just a little more of a memory at that point, rather than, you know, making it appear like we were jumping back in time, but everything still looked the same. They wanted to give it a little bit of emphasis, a little extra.
Yeah, I mean, but there's so many other ways that you can do that. I just thought that the black and white thing was just a bit...
It felt a bit like lazy storytelling. Like
contrite.
A little contrite. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so the black and white. So I think for me, listen, the plot hole. There's this giant plot hole, and it doesn't normally, like, I mean, I love action movies. I have no problem divorcing reality from television and movies. I'm a geek, magic and sword and sorcery. That's like my bag. So obviously you have to be able to let this go. But here's I'm going to go slightly long-winded, and I don't care because it's my damn show. You establish rules when you establish a universe. And you say, these are the rules. These are how things work. So if you're telling me in this world, people can fly, no problem. People can fly. As long as you stick with those rules, I am completely fine. I will accept your reality. No problem at all. My reality, not that exciting. So let's do this. However, they have a giant hole in the ground filled with walkers. And their first thought is, oh no, we need to get them out of that giant hole.
Why not fill in the hole?
Dude, there's 1,000 things that you could do with all of those walkers trapped there.
Water.
There's hundreds and hundreds. Well, they won't drown. We learned that back in season one. Remember, you got that water log, but it was kind of whatever. And they've come out of the water before.
Bury them alive or dead.
There's other things you can fill a hole with besides water, like concrete, dirt.
Seriously.
Jello. Dirt. I don't know. There's lots of other things, though.
Oh, my God. Do they have Jello in Alexandria? That would be amazing.
Fire. You just fill it with fire. Yeah. styrofoam and gasoline. And napalm. You mix it up a whole bunch. The little homemade napalm. Don't actually do that, anyone, ever. You will die and go to jail, and it's not my fault. Don't do that. But unless, of course, you have a giant hole filled with thousands and thousands of walkers. You just do that.
It seems like a bad idea to turn them loose. And I get it. They were getting loose on their own, but... let's not make it worse.
Oh, speaking of getting loose, the one guy who came through, the one walker who came through the two things and the two trucks and like tore half his body apart. Yeah. That was awesome. That was great.
That was pretty good. Well, this whole thing is that's what he said, though. He said, like, well, they're already getting out. I'm like, they're getting out in ones and twos. Yeah. So, I mean, if they're getting out in ones and twos, all you need to do is put like one guy over there to, you know, like, the most boring shift in the world. Just, you know, kill them as they come through. All right.
Or patch up that space.
Put another car there.
Ooh.
What are your questions? Like, this wasn't hard.
Okay, but you saw the truck fall off the cliffside, too. They were coming out the other end. So they're
put another truck there.
Which is an even more important point. Because really all you need to do is get rid of the two paths that lead out of the giant hole.
Done.
And if they're so bad that one fell, fantastic. That's a much smaller path for the other ones to get past. And it's just, it's not a big deal. And I get that it's a TV show. But that bugged me so much because it was not, it bugged me. Okay.
I thought you were going to talk about the plot hole of the car full of people showing up at the front gate while Eugene was there, Heath and his crew, saying, by the way, oh, we've been gone for a few weeks.
Yeah, a little.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit of retcon. And let me tell you what, here's what made me nervous. There was two more black people in that little group. And I'm looking around the number of black people and I'm going, oh, no. Walking Dead. Maybe I'm assuming that Walking Dead looked around and thought, you know what? If we've sent a show in Atlanta and we've shown approximately two black people the entire time.
Hey, even the walkers.
Even the walkers.
I'm sure there would have been more really good black point. Walkers.
There are no fat walkers. There are no black walkers.
What are we doing here?
And that's fine. But I was like, but every time they did, they would introduce a black guy and then they had to kill a black guy.
Yep.
And so I'm watching two more get out of the car and I'm like, oh. But it looks like perhaps the show has decided that we'll go with a slightly more, let's just go with realistic. We'll ignore all the PC crap. Let's just go with a slightly more realistic cross section of what's
going
on.
You know what wasn't realistic? His hair. I was really bothered by his hair. Those braids and, well, it was really like a braid wig. It was, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Terrible, yes.
Okay, no, back up. I'm not
it
really
was
curious.
Because
Eugene makes this awesome comment. Like, they reference Eugene's hair twice in this episode.
Yep.
Right.
And one of the first things she says when she comes to is like, oh, thank God your hair is okay. and then, you know, I don't understand.
It's a terrible, terrible wig. It looks bad.
Yeah.
It was so unnecessary.
You can't see scalp at all anywhere. I mean, it's like a blanket across his head. And
yeah.
Then, like, okay, so dreads that's not real.
No. I have no idea.
No, and then the little ponytail thing at the end of his hair, it was all...
I thought that you mentioned it probably... I mean, they did all in classic kind of... No, not in classic Walking Dead style, because usually Walking Dead is better about this. When they just come out from a run for approximately, what, 2-3 weeks, and they got out of the car looking freshly showered, you know, like they, yep. we did the last night at the Holiday Inn Express down the street and got ourselves all cleaned up. We didn't want to come back, you know, with zombie gunk on us.
Well, and no one bothered to mention that there were other people out there. I mean, what, really? Deanna didn't, you know, mention, oh, by the way, we have a few teams out there. Like, we thought it was Aaron. We thought Aaron was the one who ran out.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, and there was four of them there, too. And I guess all four of these characters are in the comic books, which is something. So I think that's going to probably alleviate a little bit of the headache there, because you're going to see that part. But yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, that did bother me a little bit. Not as much as the giant hole, though. The giant hole. Like, why? Why would you possibly? That's fine. Other impressions. What else did you guys see? We're going to get into some themes here in a little bit, kind of our broader, like, what's going on meta-wise. I think we have continued this idea that Morgan is a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Right?
My man just walked in with a stick and
that's
was
it.
Like, it's fine.
There's
I don't
no,
really...
There's no blade on the stick. No,
there's no, like, heavy piece of metal to...
Nothing.
Whatever. No, he just came in with a stick and is, like, badass with it, too. Like, he's just...
Very completely true. Confident with the stick.
Oh, yeah.
Just the stick.
Everything about Morgan is completely confident, which true. Is such a large departure from the last time we see him in the show when he's a raving lunatic. And what I have to a very well-defended establishment. He had that bad boy locked down.
I just want to know where he picked up on all these skills. I mean, he told Rick that it you know, happened after the big event, the turn. Where did this come from? Did he, like, go down to the local dojo and, like, hey, I'd like to really learn to use a bow staff, please, and thank you?
You know what? I'm going to say this, though. If you're a martial arts instructor, you're really cleaning up in the zombie apocalypse.
Hell yeah, you are.
I mean, really, that's... Oh, yeah. That and any kind of a ammunition factory. I feel like those two places are doing really, really well for themselves. Because I have noticed that there's not been a bullet shortage ever.
Not at all. But they are in Georgia. Well, they were in Georgia. They started in Georgia. Virginia, now they're in Virginia.
Which
but
is not
still.
A less armed place. I mean, it's America, really. There's probably guns and bullets
just everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and the zombies at this point, the walkers at this point are basically mush. Yeah. So it's not as difficult to take them out.
Yeah. Did either one of you watch Fear the Walking Dead?
I did not.
I did.
Okay. So, Kristen, I want you to tell us a little bit now, because I didn't watch it either. And here, I have to be very honest with you. Walking Dead is the most stressful experience of my week. And I have a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. And Walking Dead, like, I can't, it's very stressful. I had to watch the Jim and the Holograms preview, movie trailer, just so I would have something else to watch, which, by the way, also pissed me off. That's another story entirely. I just can't go to bed after watching that. So Fear the Walking Dead, I'm like, I can't take that level of stress. So
it was a very different experience. It was difficult as a Walking Dead fan to not want to scream at the screen and say, what the hell are you doing? Those are walkers out there. But it was a very different experience. Not as many walkers, suspenseful in a different manner, suspenseful in the not sure what everyone's going to understand, where they're going to go, what they're going to get, that sort of thing. But it was a different experience.
All right. Is it, rate it for me, 1 to 10.
I'd give it a 7.
Okay, so as good as The Walking Dead?
No.
Okay, that wasn't even like a debate.
Different, though.
Okay.
Different. It's okay. It's a sitcom gone awry.
Now I'm confused. Yeah. Now I'm very, very confused.
It's a family, and they're trying to get on with, you know, the ups and downs of melding families and, you know, baby mama over here and baby daddy gone and that sort of thing. They're trying to meld their families. And then, oh, by the way, there's some walkers right there, right over there. Your neighbor trying to eat you. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good. I'm going to have to pass a little
it
bit.
It was enjoyable, though. It was an interesting take on the entire situation. Give us a little perspective on the background, things that were happening while Rick was in the hospital, that sort of thing.
Right, and that was supposed to be the whole point. Okay, so that's the, let's jump back into this episode, though. What was your favorite moment there, Sylvia?
My favorite moment. Oh, I told you my favorite moment when the walker like split in half.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was my favorite moment.
You know what? You know, my favorite moments here were the moments where there was a little bit of humor. There's the one moment where actually that whole anything between Michonne and Morgan. Just, I mean, Michonne's been my favorite character for a while now, and Morgan's shown up, and now Morgan and Michonne are actually fighting for my favorite, and they don't know it yet.
But that brings about a really interesting point. So Morgan makes this joke about the peanut butter bars, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. yeah.
How sane was he at that point? Like, where? I mean, he's remembering things from, you know, his dark times. I mean, it makes you wonder at what level was he acting, you know, and where he was.
I didn't get that impression.
I don't know.
I got the impression. I mean, I'm insane, right? Like, I'm legitimately crazy just in general. I'm not nearly as violent, but I am not all there. And I still would remember, and I could see, I kind of pictured it as one of those, like, as he's coming back around, as he's starting to gain control of, you know, and then these little kind of flash memories. I, for example, can tell you exactly what one of my first girlfriend's friends looked like. I don't know why. I don't know how. I would recognize a picture of her in 100 years. And I couldn't tell you her name. I couldn't tell you anything about her. I couldn't tell you anything. Just, I have this one image in my head that my brain's like, hey, by the way, we've decided this is important.
Well, Al, when you only have one girlfriend, I mean, it's not that difficult.
I see, but that moment there was awesome, and it was so real. There was this other one too, where that Michonne says while they're standing on the other side of the RV with the wall of the walkers kind of coming around, and she said, and she made some other comment too, like, you think it'll, well, I would certain hopes of considering where we're standing or whatever it was. And it was like another really great, like, it's a little bit of grim humor. But it's supposed to be. We are standing in a room filled with thousands and thousands
that
of zombies.
That is the world they live in. Grim right, humor you, is about it.
That you, for some reason, let out of the pit that was holding them all without a problem.
To send them in the giant opposite hole. Direction. I mean, that's what you do, right?
Can we talk about that for a second?
Plot.
Let's talk about this for a second. So your plan is to get thousands of zombies out of the hole where they've been collecting all by themselves. Take them 20 miles away, although somehow doing this big S-turn so that you take them within... I mean, what we saw at the end of the episode, it looked like they took them, like, less than a block away from the actual... From Alexandria. I don't know what... I would have... It's not the route I would have taken. I don't know if Google Maps would have given them that directions. But they... And then you're going to take them 20 miles and then do what? You just let them go?
Yeah, I think that was the plan. And I was curious how, you know, Daryl was going to get out of there.
Right.
Sasha and, I mean, Abraham, what were they going to do? Just turn the car around and, like, hey, guys, see ya.
Just turn the car. Maybe they were going to turn the car around and run them all over.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
10 million of them, right.
Because that's like, I get it. They have a very much as us versus them mentality. But that's up, man. You can't just send thousands and thousands of walkers just through the countryside and we'll see what they hit. Like, what?
They don't know what's out there. They don't know if there are other, you know, Alexandrias out there. They don't know, you know, they've seen Woodbury. They've seen, you know, other establishments like that.
Like the people who run the dojo that...
Exactly, the Morgan train down.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You know, right next to...
They gotta be somewhere.
Actually, that'd probably be the best place for them to aim them, because then you really got...
They're cool, though. Yeah.
I never understood this idea either. I don't understand, like, you just dig giant pits. Yeah. That's it. Just
have them all fall in.
A giant hole seemed like the best thing in the world. These things, they can't fly, they can't climb, they can't swim.
You know, you can lure them with sound and light. And
yeah, so
go.
The dynamite that you use to blow those spots, blow the, you know,
boom.
Make the...
Done.
There you
obviously
go.
A loud car horn is enough to draw them.
So. Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What is that?
That okay, so let's do this here. Before we get into themes, we're going to make this our last little talk. What was the horn? What's your theory, Kristen?
I think it's the wolves.
You think, okay, the W4, that was my, believe. Yeah, that was actually where I was going to. What are you thinking?
I think you might be right.
I don't know, though. Do you think it's maybe the kid?
I thought it was
Jesse's
Ron?
Son,
was
Ron?
It Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was assuming it was Ron. That was like, it was either, my first thought was the wolves, and then my second thought was Ron.
But why would Ron do that? I mean, Ron, because if they come back, they're kind of going to kill you too. So
yeah, but he's angry. He's angsty teenager. I hate my dad. Now my dad's dead.
And right. I get that teenagers don't always think things through, but that would be really dumb.
And my confusion here is, I understand that, you know, it's a big town, lots of things, but you left Carol back there.
Yep.
Carol, I would, if I'm assuming Carol's dead, that's the only thing that makes sense, because otherwise you should have heard beep and then the sound of somebody dying.
Yeah, right.
I mean, come on. Carol, let that happen?
That's actually why I think that it might be the wolves, because there may be many of them.
Yeah.
And they may have sort of taken everyone hostage back at
Alexandria.
You
really don't even have to. You really just need to post up near the walls and leave the horn going and then take off.
Good point. Yeah, zombies don't stop at a certain point. Like,
right,
here's the sound. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang around here. We will zoom down. I'm sure it's fine. Let's just focus here, guys.
Children playing in the background. Nah, I don't care about them.
It was all overall, though, a fantastic episode. I thought it was a really, really good start to the season. Giant plot hole and slightly contrived devices with the black and white, whatever, aside. Still, really good episode. Really, really enjoyed it. Okay, so let's talk themes. Kristen, I think you actually wrote them down, so why don't you start?
All right. Well, there's definitely this idea of kind of a redemption, but a change. you know, who is Rick now? Who is Morgan now? Have they redeemed themselves? They've both been through crazy and back, or at least we think back. Mm-hmm. Where are we
some
going?
Some are a little farther back than others.
Yeah. Where are we going? Where are we going with the two of them? The connection that they have together? Do they trust each other? How's that going?
All right. What about you, Sylvia? What are you thinking?
I'm feeling like at some point there's going to be a battle of communities. Alexandria, wherever Morgan was, whoever his team is, and the Wolves... Or the W's, whatever they are.
I mean, Wolves, yeah. I was making sure because the W's were specifically the... Which, by the way, that takes a lot of time. Like, who has... Who takes that kind of time to go through and carve W's on everybody's forehead?
Why? Who cares? Obviously, like, psychopathic.
Right. I mean, I guess these aren't terribly balanced people. Right. But you were saying.
No, I just think at some point, it's going to come to a point where they're going to have to battle to either keep where they are again or... just be the, you know, the dominant community.
Okay.
That raises a very good point, though. Where did Morgan come from at this point? He had to learn these martial arts skills from someone.
From the dojo.
Is he a scout? Is he finding a new home for another group? What is he doing?
Well, we know he was specifically trying to find Rick.
Yes and no, though. And
he had the stuff. We saw the stuff that specifically showed that
absolutely.
He was... But didn't he... We also saw that X in the tree, carved in the tree at mm-hmm. some point. Was that Morgan?
No. He was following it.
He was following it.
But maybe he was trying to find Rick to scout him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows Rick and he knows... Well, not really know, but he knows that Rick is, you know, strong and he used to be a police officer. And,
sure. So you think he's scouting Rick to go play with whatever team he's on?
Right.
It's very possible. I don't know. Now that he's had a little experience with him at this juncture, can he control him? Can he calm him down? Can he bring him back?
It actually kind of bothered me just a hair, too, because I feel like with Rick, they're trying to play it. They're trying to have it both ways. You know, you have this good Rick versus bad Rick and this journey where, you know, I mean, a lot of people talk about this, too, how season one Shane is telling Rick that, you know, you're going to be just like me. And then we see Rick turn into Shane. I mean, effectively, you know, this whole...
With the whole not sleeping with another man's wife, though. Just
right.
Throwing that in. Yeah.
Oh, actually,
he tried.
No, he tried.
He would have.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah, he would have. He was there.
And then, can
it
I
just
didn't say
happen.
Right now...
He wasn't as slick as Shane.
Ballsiest move ever. Hey, I shot your husband like a week ago. What's up?
Right?
Let me try to be a dad to your kids, you know...
I don't
the ones you
think
had with the guy
was
you shot in the head.
Trying to be a dad to her kid.
What did he say to him? When he's got, was it Ron, right? Ron?
Yeah, he wanted to teach him how to defend himself.
But he's also said that to, like, everyone else. So I wasn't.
But I just shot your dad. I mean.
Like, seriously, how do you not look at Morgan and be like, Morgan, you want to take this one for me real quick? I mean, you seem to be more balanced, more sane, a better role model. Also didn't kill his dad like a week ago.
But he was way too anxious to do that.
Yeah.
He was way too anxious to shoot him. He wanted to shoot him from the time he hit his wife. So
although you knew early on, like, Rick's going to kill that guy.
Yeah.
From the time they met, you know, on Pete's porch.
Yeah.
When porch dick. Yep.
Yeah. Porch dick. Okay. And listen, there's no way around the fact that the guy was not good. Like, he wasn't a good person. But at the same time, I don't know that, like...
You straight up shot him in the face.
You did. In front of everybody.
Everybody.
In front of everybody. Like...
Yep.
I don't know.
Including his wife. Was his kids there, too?
No, I don't think his kids were there.
No.
But they certainly heard about it, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't... I don't know. I was just... And he did. I'm sorry. He was hitting on her. He was straight hitting on her.
He gave it a week. I mean, in Walking Dead time, that's like the three-day rule, you know?
Yes, I don't know. Like, so when we were dating back in high school, and I was... When guys would date girls or go after girls, like, there would be a period of time where the girl was radioactive, and you couldn't go after a girl that your boy just broke up with. You know, you have to... I don't know what the over-under is on Widow, you know? Like... Hey, he's dead. Now I'm going to move in. Or especially, hey, I killed him. He's dead.
Apparently, Walking Dead time, that's a week.
Okay.
I mean, he gave it a week.
I would have guessed a month minimum. 2 months if you shot him in the face with the front of a bunch of witnesses, including her.
Maybe, but they had a history before that. I mean,
that's true. You can't just ignore
it. She cut his hair.
You can't ignore a hair. Somebody who's cut your hair. You can't ignore that kind of intimacy. That's what I keep telling the guy who cuts my hair. There's a connection. So the theme that I think I'm seeing here is one of the themes, or one of the larger things I'm wondering about is Carol. You have this really, really cool moment with Morgan and Carol where Morgan straight up is like, hey, are you a cop? Which I don't feel like – I feel like he was being polite there. Yeah. I think he looks at her and knows that this is not a cop.
No, I feel like he's watching her, watching everybody else.
Right.
And not only is he going to try and recruit Rick, but also Carol, because he knows that she's, you know, one to have on your team.
Or is he just watching her because he thinks she's dangerous? Because she is.
She is. Very clear.
She was like, aren't you cute?
And list of, I'm sorry, Morgan showing up, Michonne, whatever. List of people I want pissed at me in the Walking Dead universe. But Carol's still first. I do not want Carol mad at me. I don't want Carol to be aware of me. I would prefer the Carol have no idea who I was.
Let's talk about her amazing acting job in their little meeting where they were discussing what to do with this quarry full of walkers.
Her supporting.
That sounds terrible. We should totally listen to everything Rick says.
I just can't think of any other ideas. Like, I don't know, collapse the two roads, napalm the group.
No. Whatever Rick says.
Throw big rocks at them. Like, lots of, it's a quarry. There's tons of rocks. Just throw rocks at them until they're all, I don't know. There's literally hundreds of ways that you could have solved that problem. It's going to bug me. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm curious to see how that progresses there too. I also think I read this really, really interesting point. That both Ron and Carl, the problem there with both of them is you shouldn't have named them, named like 70-year-old men names, like old guy names.
Carl.
That's, oh God, I love it so much.
So good.
I freaked out the first time I saw that episode when the jail goes and the whole thing's all whatever else. There was like one of the most, like, I mean, I'm having mild strokes, you know, during the episode. Then I caught it on television just randomly, and it was the funniest thing in the world. Him run around there with the Carl! Like, it was so great.
Do you think Carl at some point is going to have to handle Ron? I think so.
Ooh.
Well, I think
that would happen. Yeah, we got the little love triangle there. Enid and Ron and Carl. Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. And what is she doing? What the hell is that girl doing? Enid is sneaking out on her own,
wasting fuel in the lighter that she has.
That's like, true.
You don't just with her literally burn through those resources.
Yeah, what is she doing?
Here's where I'm. The thing. This is the problem too, because if you're going to take a zombie apocalypse, the worst possible thing you can have around is teenagers who combine the complete refusal to listen with a belief in their own immortality. They're going to get you all killed.
Everybody.
This is the same reason why we said that this age group is the one that goes off and fights in wars. Because you have this like complete a theory of immortality and this recklessness, which could, you know, say has saved civilization, arguably, depending on the war and blah, 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 blah. But if you've got a small group of survivors against zombie hordes, the first thing you do with the teenager is club him over the head. Sharp blow to the temple, knock him out. Don't untie him until he's like 30. And then, like, can you make rash decisions? Can you make rational decisions? Okay, now you're allowed up. I'm just saying. You've got a teenager at home.
But he's...
Yours doesn't count.
No. He's like a teenager... He's an old man trapped in a teenage body.
Did you name him Coral?
I didn't name him Coral.
Harry? Or what's another like really old guy name?
I don't know. Enid's pretty bad. Enid's also really...
That's true. We have this whole... Apparently, the generation before the zombies attack, we all just old names, old people names. Like, we looked at the 1940s book of baby names and thought, fantastic, Enid, done, Enid. Let's do this.
They need, like, a Hank and a...
Sure.
Ooh,
sure.
A Margaret Harry. In there. Yeah.
Harry's like Tom, Dick, and Harry. Those are the ones that I like. Yeah.
A Lenny.
Lenny. Very that's nice.
Good. All right, that's next teenager, Lenny.
Lenny, that's what he's going to...
He'll show up in a car that they were just out on a run for a couple of weeks. It's totally fine. There are 8 more cars.
Unless his last name is Kravitz, then...
Yeah, then that's different. A whole different... Listen, yeah. Different. Listen, Lenny Kravitz is a whole different...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the... So Carol... Morgan, though. I keep coming back to Morgan.
I don't know that we trust him yet again. I mean, we love Morgan. Don't get me wrong. Like, Morgan was the character that everyone wanted to see come back. But then in this last episode, it was like everyone just like, oh, he's cool. Yeah, bring him in.
Yeah, it's the mystery of him now. It's like he's kind of shifty. He's very talented, but You just don't know where he's going with that.
I did not suspect Morgan of anything until we started this conversation.
It's a little strange, though. He's the one that kept referencing the fact that they were meeting for the first time again.
Right. No. And
they're different people now.
Well, no, now I'm paranoid. Now I'm looking at him going, holy crap, Morgan's going to kill everyone. Because I didn't think for a second that Morgan was up to no good. And now I'm wondering if Morgan's up to no good. Thank you both. You made me more suspicious.
Yeah.
We ruined it for you.
You did. I just wanted to believe in Morgan.
Morgan's pretty awesome. I mean, we'll give him awesome. We'll see if it's good awesome or badass awesome.
Right, right.
Jedi or is he a Sith?
I don't know.
Yeah. What's up?
We shall see.
Little Sith Maul action. He does have the see? That's where he picked it up.
That is the Sith. It turns out it was a Sith dojo.
Yeah.
Next to the ammunition factory.
Next to
I don't understand why everybody would just move there, because that really seems like the safest place to be.
Is it bad that I don't notice it then?
It's a bad Jedi.
Oh.
Darth Maul? No? That's all right. We're going to play Dungeons & Dragons. We're going to get you. Okay. We'll drag you down the geek rabbit hole one little shorter bit.
Wars marathon.
Have you seen the Star Wars movies?
Not one.
Oh, that's happening.
I don't know, though. I don't know if we're going to... Because I'm getting Sylvia in. Like, she's watched Daredevil. I made her watch Daredevil. I made her watch... What else did you... I got her partway through Supernatural. But the problem with Supernatural is that... It sucks.
It drags for three seasons.
And then season 4, episode 1, Supernatural's like, oh, by the way, we figured this out. Let's do this thing. But Sylvia's a completionist, so I can't get her to just skip.
But you went to Dungeons and Dragons.
And
not Star Wars. Like,
I didn't think she'd go for Dungeons and Dragons. I'm as confused by her arrival in Dungeons and Dragons as anyone.
All right.
Just when you think you know me.
I know. She turns around behind you like, oh, okay, what's up? Okay, final thoughts. What do you need to see happening this season on Walking Dead? Sylvia, let's start with you.
I need to figure out where they got the helium from for those balloons. I want to know who took Morgan's peanut butter protein bar. No, really.
No, those are... Now I'm going to be wondering about now the helium thing is going to bother me so much.
No, I want to know where Morgan's going with this, where he came from, what's been going on with him all this time. I wonder if they're going to go back and show what happened with him and give, you know, the other characters a break for a little bit.
But not in black and white, though.
Not in black and white, please. I want to see the battle between Ron and Carl. I want to see...
Carl shot his mom in the head.
He did.
He's not a badass. That's not a motherfucker to mess with. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right.
He just does what needs to be done.
That's true.
Let's see. What else do I need to see? I need to see what's going on with Carol and why the hell she didn't stop whoever's blowing the horn.
Yeah.
Those are probably my main points.
All right, Kristen, what do you need to see this season of Walking Dead?
Well, now the impending battle between Ron and Carl. I mean, that right is now, like top of my list now.
And it needs to be as a thing. I don't want it to just be a simple I need it to be a brawl. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, yeah. He's got to take him out like piece by piece.
Yeah, yeah. No, it needs to be absolutely. It needs to be rough. Okay. Yeah.
All right. But I really want to see what Enid is up to. What the JSS, by the way, my husband's initials. A little strange. Didn't know he was in The Walking Dead. I'm just saying. I need to see what she's up to. Why does she keep sneaking out? Why is she so cryptic? She talks about her life before Alexandria very little. We'll see.
I don't think about any of these things. You guys are like so... I'm just like, I want to see the big fight. Like that was like not even between Carl and Ron. I just wanted to see the zombies attack Alexandria. I need to see Morgan. I need to know what's going on with Morgan. I want to see Morgan and Michonne start to balance out Rick. They're not going to go anti-hero with Rick. You know, they're not going to go, they're not, but they're going to keep doing this because I guess one of the things that occurs to me is that Walking Dead is not going to stop. They're going to keep doing this thing until this show is horrible and dies an ugly death. Like Noah, like that kind of ugly death. So yeah, right. We'll call back
good
there.
Death, but yeah. Oh, speaking of the guy who got Noah killed.
Yeah,
we never even spoke about him.
Oh, we didn't.
True. That's Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicholas. Yeah, yeah he He did his thing. But it's Glenn, right? So Glenn did what Glenn always does.
Yeah.
Glenn is like the good guy.
The ultimate good guy.
Yeah, he's like, hey, listen, you got a really good friend of mine killed. But not only am I going to teach you how to be better and forgive you, I'm going to make sure that those two women over there, who, for the record, would slaughter you, would slit you
with neck their to pinky finger.
Seriously, like there'd be nothing left of you. I'm going to keep them off your back as well. So, anyway, so the main things I need to see though is I need to see what's the senator's the woman ostensibly in charge,
Deanna.
I need to see Deanna step back up and do her thing. I need her to take charge of Alexandria again.
She's a politician.
She will rally
and come back.
Right, and she's reeling, and I get that. Mm-hmm. I need to see her step back up. I need her to step back up. I need to see Morgan's development a little bit more, and I need them to move away from some of the stuff in this episode that bothered me. The black and white just felt lazy. This show has always been incredibly smart. I'm not a big fan of zombies. I don't watch any other zombie show or anything like that at all. I've watched the show because it's smart, and the two things there just were enough to make me go, come on, guys, step up your game. This is your season premiere. You need to do better than this.
It's still about the humanity.
Speaking of smart, did you notice that the zombies are faster this year?
They're moving a little quicker.
Doesn't make sense because they're basically turning to mush.
Right.
How's that happening?
I think they slipped on that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is part of the problem, though. You can only tell the same story so many times in different ways, you know? Yeah, we were at the farm and everything was going well for a little while and then it went to hell. And then we were at the prison and everything went fine for a little while and then it went to hell.
Woodbury.
And now we're at Woodbury. Everything was fine for a little while and then it went to hell. And now we're, you can only retell this story in so many different ways before something's got to either end or change drastically.
I really hope that Alexandria makes it. Like, I really hope that they can keep that as a working community.
I would like to see, and I know that this is not going to be a terribly popular sentiment, I'd like to see them wrap it up in the next season or two. I'd like to see them end strong, end well, and just, you know what I mean? Like,
I thought we were going to see that with this season, honestly, when in last season Rick had his little speech about who they are and why they're the Walking Dead and they survive, and that's where I thought we were going to see it. And
yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. One of the reasons that Breaking Bad, another AMC show, and AMC, to my mind, one of the best television series I've ever seen as far as character arc development, it got in, it dragged. I'm not gonna say it was perfect. It definitely has parts where it dragged, but it told one story. It told it incredibly well, and then it got the hell out. And American television series have a very, very hard time doing that. You see the British shows, the first time they notice that they would do this, a lot of the BBC shows will actually do the tell a story, they wrap it up, and then they're done. They don't make any more. That's it. Could they tell more stories? Yes, but they've already told great stories, and now they're finished. And I feel like AMC did that with Breaking Bad, and I kind of need them to do it with Walking Dead before this gets too far.
Agreed.
So I don't know what a good ending looks like. I don't think the ending looks like Rosie. Honestly, the ending looks like Alexandria, I think, is your best case scenario.
Yeah.
Either that or they all die. Which also completely, I mean, as far as an ending for a series goes, I'd watch that. I think that would be amazing.
That's pretty definite.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. There's a lot more we could discuss, but we are running over here. So we're going to go ahead and move on to B-roll. No.
He's singing again.
I can't.
Didn't we say no?
I don't know what to do there. So for our B-roll, we're going to talk about a new Netflix show that's coming out. It premieres November 20th, Jessica Jones. So Jessica Jones takes place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's the second series, the first companion series to Daredevil. So you've got four series that are coming up, four main characters whose stories are going to be told. You've got Daredevil, whose season one already came out and was amazing. You both watched Daredevil, correct?
Yep.
Absolutely.
How did you guys feel about Daredevil?
Awesome.
Thought it dragged a little bit in the middle, but otherwise fantastic.
Okay. I mean, you're wrong, Kristen, but that's you're entitled to that.
Never wrong.
So you've got Daredevil, you've got Luke Cage, you've got the Iron Fist, and you've got Jessica Jones. So we're not going to get too terribly deep into Jessica Jones. We're going to talk about it a lot more as we get a little bit further on. But here's the things that make Jessica Jones really, really noteworthy, what I want to just kind of highlight real quick. First, you've got the bad guy, who's the Purple Man, who is, without a doubt, like... So Batman has this villain called Calendar Man. I'm not making that up. He legitimately has a villain called Calendar Man.
Oh no, it's December 2nd.
Yeah.
What do you do?
All of his crimes were based around calendar dates and all of that stuff. Yeah, it was not a great time in comics.
guys, like, we're running out of ideas here.
Seriously, they were running, like, I don't even know what they were doing. Like, Calendar Man, and somebody, because the problem with that is somebody had to say Calendar Man and somebody else had to say great. You know, like, there was like, it took multiple people to make Calendar Man an actual thing.
That sounds like a dare.
Oh,
that sounds like
okay.
That's completely what it is.
That is the first logical explanation for Calendar Man.
That's what it is.
Explained.
So Purple Man, a little bit he's kind of a really really obscure like D level villain. You know,
please tell me he's green or something. I mean,
no.
He's actually purple.
But he's one of Daredevil's villains. And all of these four stories are taking place in Hell's Kitchen, and we're very street level with it going on here. But the thing about the Purple Man is he does mind control, and so part of Jessica Jones' story is that she was, I mean, you know, she's this like outskirt superhero. She was never big. At no point was she rolling with Iron Man and hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, she was always kind of on the peripheral here. Washed out as a superhero, ended up becoming a private detective. She's got super strength. That's basically. But the crazy part here is that Purple Man goes through, mind controls her, and then sexually assaults her repeatedly. Her and multiple women. Does this to multiple women. And this is where I think, and this is very clearly where they're going with the show. So here's what I want to know. Is this a good move? Can we get into superhero shows where we are dealing with issues like rape and PTSD?
I think we deal with issues like that in superhero shows all the time. Identity crises, it just comes in different flavors.
But not on TVs or movies, though. You know?
I don't know about that. I mean, it's a lighter hand, maybe, than what we're seeing with Jessica Jones, but I think it's a very real situation that, you know, could happen in the not-so-Marvel universe, and...
Oh, no, it absolutely could.
It's something that they're going to touch upon, and this is her identity crisis. This is where, you know, she lost herself.
I mean, if there was a sick psychopath with mind control, this is exactly what he would do. Like, if you want to talk about what would actually happen, yes. That absolutely. I mean, you could argue that already happens, just not with superpowers. We just manipulation and all this other kind of stuff to do these horrific things.
Absolutely.
But
Stockholm syndrome.
What are you thinking?
Do you think that they're gonna like really get into that though?
Yes.
Do you think they're gonna like be graphic with it, or
how graphic they're going to be? But they're definitely going to talk about this in the series. It's definitely a thing that's going to be discussed.
I mean, but so I'm thinking. Maybe he'll do the whole mind control thing, and then she'll be like a stripper or something for him.
Oh, you're wondering how bad and how.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. We saw in Daredevil that they have no problem pushing the envelope with violence.
No, not at all.
You know, I mean, Danielle, you know, as Danielle's mentioned a couple times, she got to the scene where that guy's head in the car door.
In the car door, right.
That was it. And that was it. She was done. And I think that, you know, you see Netflix also, no problem with going into nudity. You know, you could just pick your series. Netflix original series are basically like, hey, we also show lots and lots of boobs. Like, they looked at HBO and they thought, we could do that. You know, like, they...
Yeah, but have we seen, like, a rape scene?
Yeah,
have
I don't think it'll
something that intense yet?
That's... Not yet. Are we about to? Yeah. That's really what I'm...
If they do it well and actually bring justice to the victim, then maybe that's something important.
I think it would be incredibly important. I think it would be great because part of this thing here is that Jessica Jones owns who she is. You know, and I'm skipping over huge swaths of this. So if you're a big Jessica Jones fan, you're like, why isn't he mentioning this? Well, spoilers, and because I don't want to... We're going to talk about this more in a future episode, so I don't want to delve too deep in here. But one of the cool things about Jessica Jones is that she owns her own sexuality. She owns her own... identity, you know, she's dealt with this, and it's still screwing her up, as I would imagine it would, but she is still kind of rising above it, and she is this awesome, strong, badass superhero who's got no issue with just whooping your ass, you know?
So is that gonna be her the villains that she's going to, you know, bring justice to, is people like rapists and...
I don't know. In this series, she is a private investigator. And we know... I've been reading a bunch about this because they premiered the first episode at the New York Comic-Con, New York City Comic-Con, over this past weekend. And so they didn't know when they sat down, but the people who went to the panel got to watch the first episode. It just, they played the whole first episode for them. And so I've read a couple reviews of it. And one of the things that they said that they're doing is they're taking this from a very noir feel. So it's got a gumshoe detective kind of, there's a voiceover that tells you, like, the city never sleeps, you know, all that, except it's okay. Her voice, not my voice. Twice sounds very different than my voice. But, And so I would imagine if you're doing that, I mean, a lot of these detective stuff, they get dark. They get, you know, I have a feeling it'll look more like Sin City. Do you guys ever see Sin City?
Good reference, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for it to somebody else. It was a graphic novel that they made into a movie, and it was really dark and weird and violent and gritty and sexual. And it was, it was fantastic. But, you know, I'm hopeful. I want to see them do it right. And it's got David Tennant in it, so that gives me a lot of hope. And Kristen Ritter plays Jessica Jones, who is the chick from Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Oh, yeah. Love her.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. So she's definitely got, like, and that is who you want. You want one of those, like,
edgy,
not impressed with your bullshit.
Slightly psychotic, but in a really badass way.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which, by the way, could be the description of any number of ex-girlfriends for me. I have a type. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on into... No, one last question. Sorry. You going to watch?
I think I might give it a shot, yeah.
All right. What about you?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I mean, I obviously have to. Like, there's a deep part of me that sat through so many crappy, crappy superhero cartoons. I'm obviously going to watch all of these, even if they were all garbage, which thankfully they have not been thus far. Yeah. Okay, so now let's go and do shameless plugs. Sylvia, do you have anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Nope. Not at the moment.
Oh. Well, that's not...
Sorry.
That's not as helpful. What about you, Kristen? Anything you have to shamelessly plug?
Just an honest shout out to Think Geek Store. That was pretty fantastic. They, you know, completely turned around what could have been a terrible situation with our BB-8 experience. And I appreciate that.
I have got to get down to Think Geek. I am so...
It was amazing.
Thing is, like, I've got kids, right? And so I have to load up a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old into a car and them 35 to 40 minutes out to Think Geek. Well, I'm not going to get to actually enjoy Think Geek. I'm going to chase my kid around.
Do not take the 2-year-old into the Think Geek store.
Bad idea.
And you will owe a lot of money.
Right? And then, but, you know,
was worried.
You leave the kid in the car with the window cracked and everybody gets all upset because it's 85 degrees outside. You have the 2-year-old in the car. Right? Like, they get, if it's not one thing, it's another. That's all I'm trying to say here. I think it was the only thing I wanted to shout out. I think we're doing pretty good here. I'm pretty happy with everything. I do want to make a slight shout out for a new game that I've been goofing around with, Dead Man's Draw. It's a very simple dorky theme, like pirate themed card game. It's not like you don't play with regular playing cards. You have to buy this particular deck, but it's just a really simple, fast, easy game. Pairs very well with alcohol.
And yes, we turned it into a drinking game.
It's begging.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Actually, it was sent to me by Nick Albright, one of our editors. He sent it to me and said, "I know you can make a drinking game from this." And as I read through the instructions, I'm like, I don't have to. This has already made itself into a drinking game. I am not putting drinking into it. I'm revealing the drinking that's already inside of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to play.
You and we will, as a matter of fact. It'll be awesome. So if you're looking for a fun, very, very light themed, dorky kind of board game thing, it's like a push your luck kind of thing. It's barely dorky. But it's called Dead Man's Draw. Absolutely feel free to check that one out. We enjoyed it quite a bit.
I have one last shout out. One more.
Do it.
It's a Walking Dead reference from the show. Can I just say that Rick's little analogy of the, you know, we're police at a parade. Fantastic. I mean, that is exactly what it must be like to be police at a parade watching the horde of walkers go by.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really, really amazing. Great line. That was really, really... you know what? I'm going to say, as long as you jump back here, too, I really didn't want Carter to die.
Aw.
That line that he said, that Rick says, where he's like, ooh. Sorry, guys. We're going to wrap that up right there. I don't think I was supposed to share that spoiler after people jump for it. They'll be fine. Anyway, if you guys want to follow us on Facebook, you can find us at For Geek's Sake, just like it sounds, For Geek's apostrophe S sake. You can also find us on Twitter at the number For Geek's Sake. That's two S's, For Geek's Sake. If there's anything on your mind, anything you'd like to share, please feel free to drop a comment. We absolutely love to hear from you guys on anything and everything. And I think that's going to do it for us. So on behalf of myself, with Chris and Sylvie and all the folks here at For Geek's Sake, we want to thank you so very, very much. And remember, do or do not, there is no try.